we have that. Yeah. All right, can you hear us?
I can barely hear you.
You barely? All right, my mic's not up. All right, how about that? Is that better?
A little.
Okay. Well, you're on the air now. It's WHRW 90.5 FM. And so I guess the first thing is to introduce yourself and the group you're with, and then we can go from there.
Okay. My name is Don Young. I live in Fort Worth, Texas, which is considered kind of the epicenter of the Barnett Shale. It's the largest urban area that's been drilled for natural gas. And I believe it's the first case scenario where a large city has allowed gas drilling inside the city limits. Fort Worth, as of today, has over 2,000 gas wells in the city limits, and this is a city of over 700,000 people. I started an organization called FW Can Do, which stands for Fort Worth Citizens Against Neighborhood Drilling Operations, about 5 years ago, when I first heard about the drilling. And it was one of those things where I became an instant activist, so to speak. I think activism is not something you go to school and learn. It usually just happens to you. And in this case, I guess I was a fuse ready to go off. And the reason I got involved was my concern for the green space in Fort Worth in North Texas. And I had one of my most treasured green spaces, 160-acre natural prairie here in Fort Worth, was slated for drilling. But when I heard about that, that's when I jumped into action and began to let my neighbors know. And I went from a NIMBY, more or less concerned about my own backyard, to citywide and eventually region-wise and to some extent national. And that's where it stands today. Texas is still, it's a huge mess, but we're reaching out to the northeast part of the country to see if we can help them get it right, because Texas sure didn't.
Well, we really appreciate your work here, and I know many groups in this area have used your work and your example and have started their own campaigns. I guess the one thing I had brought up with Texas Sharon in an interview yesterday was this this movement into Fort Worth. I described it, I guess, as like a creeping, and it seemed like at first it started where there wasn't drilling in the city and has since started to move in as they had found that the gas was underneath Fort Worth. And this is something that is very relevant to the city that we're in now, Binghamton, New York, where there actually is the Marcellus Shale actually is underneath the city. And there's a mayoral election. There have been candidates who have been talking about drilling underneath the city and getting the gas under there. So, I mean, can you describe how that happened, how it came to be that they were drilling in the city?
Oh, sure. This is a very sneaky industry, very corrupt. And, of course, they have one of their techniques is to get into the politicians early. And once they get that done, the game is pretty much over in many cases. The politicians, once they're bought off, then the local populace seems to think, well, this must be okay, or the mayor wouldn't agree to it. And that's exactly what happened in Fort Worth. I think certain people knew way years before the general public that gas drilling was coming to the inner city. And when I say sneaky, they know ahead of time what they want to do. They don't have to do a whole lot of studies. They already know the Marcellus Shale is there. They just like they knew the Barnett Shale is here. And they constantly brag about there's no dry holes. So there's a lot of misleading going on. There's drilling that will happen around the perimeter or in the rural areas, which is how it begins. But from the beginning, their goal is to drill all of it, every square inch of Fort Worth, for example. And if they know there's gas under Binghamton or any other city in the Northeast, they're already planning to do that. They're figuring out what politicians to buy, what land that they can buy cheap now, where to get their hands on the water, which, of course, takes millions and millions of gallons of water. So they set all this up way ahead of time under the radar of the average person. So you need to assume up front that they're definitely going to drill in your wherever you are in the Marcellus Shale, you're a target. And they've already been discussing it probably years ago. So the time to prepare was yesterday.
All right, and we have a question here.
Can you describe some of the locations inside of Fort Worth where they're drilling?
Some locations?
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, go for it.
Well, certainly. Originally, the drilling took place on the fringes of the city, and it kind of gradually moved towards the heart of the city. Some seismic experts said the sweet spot, the so-called sweet spot of the Barnett Shale, was actually right under downtown Fort Worth. And so, as you might expect, even the downtown Chamber of Commerce was bought off by this industry. And as of now, we have gas wells right in downtown proper Fort Worth, right next to the railway that runs through town, right next to a very high-dollar new development that was slated for construction before the economic meltdown. So those are a couple of places, literally downtown Fort Worth.
Wow.
And then you have gas wells next to elementary schools within mm-hmm. 600 feet mm-hmm. in the city of Fort Worth. You have gas wells next to churches. Some of the most gas wells we have are along the river here. And if that's a particularly bad situation because a lot of this land is some of the fewest green space that we have left is along the river. And these companies have gobbled all that up. That was what they call low-hanging fruit, so to speak. So, from my perspective, losing all this green space is not just bad for future generations, but this green space is also kind of like a carbon sink that cleans up some of the mess that these companies are making.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very tragic to me for the long-term future of Fort Worth is not very bright at all. To lose all this green space and have gas wells right next to where major urban developments are.
Yeah, including subdivisions of homes, home subdivisions and residential neighborhoods that are densely packed.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Oh, sorry. There's also drilling rigs going up inside of suburban subdivisions and people's backyards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, all over the Barnett Shale. As I said earlier, there's no place off limits to this industry. So you have subdivisions with gas wells right outside the gate. I'm talking about some gated subdivisions. Although generally speaking, the higher end neighborhoods have been able to avoid this, as some of the people mentioned earlier in this program. For instance, of course, the mayor of Fort Worth doesn't have a gas well or a pipeline anywhere near his house.
Right.
And he's the same mayor who collected $600,000 2 years ago from the very industry that's doing the drilling here in Fort Worth. So that points back to the corruption. But it's a huge problem here in Fort Worth, and it's really just beginning. As bad as it is, it's a growing problem.
I had a question in relation to the sites that you had talked about. What it's like to have the full scale rig going on there. I know in just generally speaking, when you're doing the drilling, that there's a containment ponds that are filled with the contaminated fluids, and there's large trucks and containers filled with all sorts of equipment and fluids of all sorts. And all these are right in downtown Fort Worth, and that's something. And then you have all the large amounts of trucks that are going through areas that aren't necessarily, I mean, I don't think any area is made for a large truck to go through, but especially congested cities would seem incredibly not suited for hundreds of trucks going through. What's that like?
Well, the truck traffic alone is definitely a nightmare. Having lived my whole life in Fort Worth, I'm very familiar with the city, and there's been a noticeable uptick in the number of tanker trucks on not only on city streets but of course on the highways. There's certainly been a number of accidents, some in which people were killed involving those trucks, especially in the rural areas where they tend to drive extra fast and the streets are rather narrow. But even here in the city, driving down the main interstate that runs through town, Interstate 30, it's not unusual if you sit still for 5 minutes to sit there and just count them, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a constant, steady traffic of these tanker trucks, which weigh tons, and they're filled with toxic salt water. So that the traffic alone is a major problem. That's also growing, and the way I understand it, it'll be ongoing pretty much throughout the life of the gas well. You'll have to put up with that traffic.
And these on these rigs, are they fenced off and cordoned off? I know up here in Pennsylvania, there's a lot of these rigs, especially the containment ponds. There was a flimsy plastic fence that was falling down in areas. And I mean, kids and animals and anyone who wandered by could easily go in there and get into that, those sort of things. What is it like there as far as people like accessing that those areas, especially in like a large urban area?
Well, you generally see fencing. However, you know, and a gate, but anybody that wants to get in one could get in one. Quite often the gates of these facilities are wide open and you can just drive through. You know, I can easily imagine kids driving through there and messing with it. I could easily imagine someone with terrorist intentions doing the same thing. Such things are not out of the realm of possibility. There was an article in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram just a couple of days ago reminding people that a lot of individuals involved with terrorism have roots in the Fort Worth region. So it's certainly on people's minds here, but it's in the back of their mind.
Right. I think possibly having the drill rigs in right next to their homes would be in the forefront of their thoughts and the drilling and the toxicity. Sharon had mentioned something about a pipeline going right through the front yards of people's homes, especially in poor neighborhoods. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I actually, the first one, which is yet to be installed in Fort Worth, is just 6 blocks from where I'm standing right now at my house. And that pipeline is... They call them gathering lines. This is when you have two wells that you need to connect with a pipe and then eventually get that to an even bigger pipe to get it to market, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, we have two gas wells about a mile apart, and they need to be connected with this gathering line. And a gathering line brings gas directly out of the well, right out of the ground, which means it's unodorized, as you've probably heard.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing they're doing up here on Carter Avenue nearby, it's a very low income, a lot of non-English speakers, and they were offered relatively small amounts of money under duress to sign a piece of paper that would allow this company to put the pipeline under their front yards. In some cases, directly under the house. And, of course, a lot of these people were fearful that, you know, if I don't sign this, I might get deported, or who knows what happens might happen. So a lot of these lower-income and uneducated folks signed on.
All right.
And so that gave a lot of power to this company, which was originally a subsidiary of Chesapeake Energy, which they're kind of the big bad wolf around here.
Right.
And so that's where it stands now. There are multiple options available to this company, but they chose the cheapest way with the less problems for them, which just happens to be right in this neighborhood, rather than go across where there's no homes at all. So it's an extremely egregious problem, and it points to just how corrupt this agency is, or this industry is, to even consider such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're working hand-in-hand with the city of Fort Worth, which could deny this to Chesapeake. But Chesapeake Energy basically owns this town now, the city of Fort Worth. Fort Worth has a nickname it's had for many years, Cowtown. Excuse me. But if you look around Fort Worth now with over 2,000 gas wells in the city limits, I think we have more gas wells than we have cows in this town now. So it's really ridiculous to even think of Fort Worth as anything less than an oil and gas town, which is what we've become in only 3 years.
Wow.
I had, Something that's been in the news probably nationwide and has been come up in this area and was brought forth to the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection in a meeting was the earthquakes that were happening in the area. And it was brought up and it was said that this was a major problem and that the person, this main man from the DEP, said that he had heard about it and he didn't really substantiate it and thought that they were unfounded claims and kind of thought that it was a whole bunch of hogwash and myth and all that. So what can you describe what that was about?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's never been an earthquake in this region before. Nothing major, of course. Just little rumblings, which, you know, occur everywhere, but nothing to cause any serious property damage or even noticeable. But a small town just outside of the city limits named Cleburne, Texas, had a series of 5 or 6 earthquakes within just a couple of 3 months' time. And nothing serious happened, but they had never had earthquakes there before. And, of course, people immediately thought this has to do with drilling because there has never been drilling here before. And now we have hundreds and hundreds or thousands of gas wells in that area around Cleburne. And in addition to that, they have the saltwater disposal well, at least one of those in Cleburne. And early testing points to it's the disposal well primarily that's causing the problem. And we're having earthquakes here, which would never have had in our history. I think, and then there was some more over near the airport, Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, which is quite a few miles north of there, just within the city limits of Fort Worth. And there was also, not only are there hundreds or thousands of gas wells on airport property, but there was also a disposal well there. So they had just coincidentally, you might say, had earthquakes up there in that region as well. And that particular one did cause quite a bit of damage. In fact, it was the National Scouting Headquarters, Boy Scouts of America headquarters, which damaged, I believe, to the tune of $250,000 damage. So I don't expect to have any California-style quakes here in this region, but I do see the potential for a lot of serious property damage. And that's a greater, you believe it or not, property damage seems to be of greater concern to our elected officials than public safety. So that one got on the radar pretty quickly and received a lot of publicity.
Wow. We have a question.
Hey, Don.
Pardon me?
We have another question here.
Hey, Don, thanks for being on the show. This is assistant DJ Justin. Nice to meet you. My first question is, what was the name of the organization that you started in response to this drilling?
Well, the acronym is FWCANDO. That stands for Fort Worth Citizens Against Neighborhood Drilling Operations. And our website is fwcando.org. And I believe we were the first such organization in the state, starting in about 5 years ago. And so we were one of the first Paul Revere's, you might say, raising the red flag on this issue.
Yeah, you said earlier that Fort Worth has somewhat turned into a huge mess, and the organization is mostly focused on trying to reach out to other communities that are facing what Fort Worth didn't know was coming. So really, I wanted to know, how's that going so far?
How's it going? I guess it depends on who you ask, or, you know, if you measure success by, did we stop the drilling? No, we certainly did not. We tried very hard to get people's attention. But this thing called money and greed is a big contributor to the problem here. And when you put millions of dollars in advertising from the gas companies saying, you're all going to get rich, it's going to be Beverly Hillbillies in real life, the average person around here bought that. And they received relatively small amounts of money. Some received more than others. Lower incomes seemed to receive the less. And they were tricked into this earlier than most people. But I think we've had some success in that we got their attention. You know, when I first got into this game, I had no idea that I was taking on big oil and gas. I just wanted to protect my little prairie park over here. That was my main goal. And it's a big industry. It's a very tough industry to fight. No matter what you do, they'll counter it with what I call greenwashing. And with their budgets as big as they are, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've seen full-page ads in the New York Times over and over in recent days. But in the early days of Fort Worth drilling, 2006, for example, it was not unusual to see a full-page ad every day of the week. So they really hammered us early. And also billboards featuring none other than Tommy Lee Jones, the famous actor proclaiming the Barnett Shale was the answer to everything from better schools to better sex. You know, it's ridiculous, some of the claims that were made. And so as a result, the average person just swallowed it whole. And it was very hard to reach out to them because they're all assuming they're going to get rich. So it's been one of our higher hills to climb. But I think we've had some impact. We got the attention of politicians, both local and statewide. And now with a new organization, Texas OGAP, Oil and Gas Accountability Project, we're hoping to move that forward and focus on getting some better regulations for what I consider an out-of-control industry.
I see. Very good. So mainly these ads that are misleading people, that's what you guys have been focusing on? It's trying to be informative to the community?
Yes. Our original intentions were to raise awareness by gathering and distributing information. You got to remember, in 2005, nobody knew anything about this, about gas drilling. No one would have ever guessed in a million years there would be major industrial drilling in the heart of our city. For one thing, we have zoning regulations, but the gas industry managed to get around every single one, so you now have drilling in every zoning class in this city, from family dwellings on up to anywhere. But yeah, and that is still our principal goal at FW CANDU, is to gather and distribute information and try to raise people awareness so that they can make better informed decisions, influence their elected officials, and mainly just to get active. You know, I tend to believe, like I think Al Gore said a while back, everybody needs to be an activist in the world we're living in today. And so with NFW Can Do, we try to encourage that as much as possible.
All right. I had a question. I guess I've been trying to ask this of everyone I've been interviewing, and I think its main thing is, based on your experiences, what do you recommend to people in this area who are in your position, and possibly in another position too? I think there's many people who right now in this area who are leaning one way or another when it in regards to signing over their land for leasing. And then there's also another group of people who know that drilling is bad but don't necessarily have an outlet for that energy. And so what can you tell people on your experiences, or what do you have a something you want to say for that?
Well, it all starts with organizing with your friends and neighbors. In my case, I never signed a lease because I didn't want to do business with an industry that I consider to be extremely corrupt, any more than I would want to sign with a business or an industry using sweatshop labor or apartheid South Africa. You know, this is a moral issue for me, because I consider the destruction of our environment a very serious offense. So I refused to take their money, and we were offered $12,500 for our half-acre property just as a bonus check, and then 25% royalties, which we turned down without a problem, even though we could have used the money. So from my perspective, just say no to these people. Do not sign a lease with them. They will offer every threat in the book. They'll say, well, we're going to drill your neighbors and you'll miss out. From my perspective, it's just wrong to do business with them. And if enough people do that, of course, they have a serious problem drilling. I'm not naive enough to think that's going to suddenly sweep the country, but I think people need to really look closely at themselves and decide what means more to them, their health, the welfare of their children, the future of the very landscapes they live in, or a few bucks from a very dirty industry that's going to contribute to global warming, for crying out loud. I mean, it's just, there's nothing good I can say about this industry. So I would just say no to them. But in the meantime, you know, you need to organize with your neighbors. You need to communicate. It's not that hard to, with computers and internet and Facebook these days, to get people organized in every little community up in that region, and then join up with the larger ones who have already been started up there. And there's force in numbers. But I think everybody needs to do a little bit every day or every week, just do something to resist this, because it will sweep over you like a tidal wave before you know it.
All right. We have another question. I have to do this. You're listening to The Point, WHRW 90.5 FM, Binghamton. This is your host, Vince. Justin here and Nastasha here in the studio as well. And we have Don Young on the air right now with Fort Worth Can Do, talking about his experiences. And so a little station announcement. So we have another question here.
Yeah, but Don, what happened with the 160-acre natural prairie that you were trying to protect?
Well, it's still here.
It is?
And it still hasn't been drilled on.
Wow.
One of the things that we may have had some impact on here was to limit drilling so that an actual rig cannot be in a city park. Although the city of Fort Worth and the gas drillers are constantly looking for ways to find a loophole to that, so far there's no drilling inside the park. The prairie's still here. In fact, I might mention that when I first heard about all this and got involved in this gas drilling issue, I wanted to protect this park was my very first concern. And to do that, I began I thought the only way to get people to care about this park is to get them over here to see it. It's kind of it's only 5 minutes from downtown. Very few people know it's here. There's not a lot of concern for the natural environment in this area, as you might guess, because there's not much of it left. So mm-hmm. I began a festival here that I called the Fort Worth Prairie Fest in 2006. And it's kind of an environmental music arts prairie tours kind of an event. And it grew from just a few people in my front yard to last year we had over 4,000 people visit.
Wow.
And we had over 100 vendors. So the park has now gained a lot of attention. And when you have that much of attention on something, it makes it much harder for an industry or for elected officials to go in there and pull the rug out from under you and stick a drill rig in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the number one goal for me in the beginning, was to raise awareness of how special this place is to keep them away. So far, it's worked pretty well. I will say that even though this 160-acre park is protected, just on either side of it, adjacent to it, is private property, which is owned by, guess who? Chesapeake Energy. So there's, even though it's not actually in the park, there is one well right next to it, which is, it does impact the experience of being there, and we have grave concerns about what they have planned for other properties they own around here. Just in my little neighborhood here around this park, there's over 100 gas wells right now that were not here 3 years ago, and that's just one little tiny section of Fort Worth. So, yes, the park is still here, and it's being used more frequently, and you need to come see it. It's the only thing left in Fort Worth worth seeing.
Wow. I was going to say, we really appreciate the work that you're doing, and you had mentioned that you wanted to help people in this area because of the gas drilling is so far entrenched in Fort Worth, and you wanted to help spread the information to other areas where we can still resist that. And I think that everyone here really appreciates the work that you're doing, and I know that many people and activists in this area do know about your work and are inspired by your work. And so just wanted to say that we really, really appreciate everything that you're doing. And we really hope that you keep going. And I think that everyone in every area needs people and groups like yours to keep resisting, like you had said. And even if you're surrounded by it, you still need to resist and not sign and show your dissatisfaction. And, did you all have any more questions? I was just going to kind of leave it up to you, Don, if you had anything that you wanted to say to the audience, if you had any thoughts that we didn't cover, any ideas that you wanted to get to, if you to you have a, you know, if you have a chance now to just say what's on your mind or anything.
Oh, no, I'm very honored and to be included. I appreciate it very much. I just want to encourage people to look for creative ways to expose this industry for what it really is, whether it be a homemade cookie sale or an art show or make your own videos and get them out there for people to see. But the main thing is to not give up and continue on protecting your neighborhood while it's still here. And I'm very honored to be on the program, and thank you very much.
You're welcome. We're honored to have you here.
Thank you, Don.
Yep, thanks for coming.
So, all right. All right, so that was Don Young with Fort Worth Can Do, Fort Worth Citizens Against Neighborhood Drilling Ordinance. The website is fwcandu.org. You can read all about what's going on there